We're taking a break from Philippians for the next few weeks, and remember that we will not be meeting on the 25th due to Thanksgiving holiday. I'm assuming most of us are cooking or walking to eat more. I'm not sure which, or both. When we meet on December 2nd, we'll be having a Christmas message, fellowship with refreshments afterwards. Tonight, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 25, that's where we're going to be. We'll be looking at the first 9 verses. Let me introduce myself, though, as you're turning there. I'm Cindy Lester. My husband is Paul Lester. He is one of the assisting pastors here. We used to live here a long time ago, and then we spent 20 years in Arkansas, where kids, we got to raise the kids there and had a Calvary Chapel that we started out there and left it in somebody else's hands when God called us back to California. When I was there, besides being a mom and pastor's wife and all those many hats, I was also an ice skating coach for 15 years, which was a lot of fun. So if you ever watch ice skating and you go, why didn't that one score as much as that one? I could probably tell you. All right, let's look now at chapter 25. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to pray. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For you have made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storms, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in a dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Father, tonight we can't thank you enough for everything you've done for us. We can't thank you enough for saving us, Lord, for your word, Lord, that just draws us closer to you, that shows us your heart for us. Lord, I ask and pray that as we dig into your word tonight, that you would help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, I ask and pray that anything that I say tonight, that it wouldn't stick. Lord, I want your word to stick, because it's your word that will bring fruit and peace. So, Lord, let those things just sink deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this verse, and the title of tonight is Praise Him. I love praising the Lord. I love music. I love most music. There's some my son got involved in when he was in high school. You know, the screamo thing? I wasn't such a fan. I tried to help him not destroy his voice, so it was okay. But anyway, I love praising the Lord. And so when I was just going, as I was studying through Isaiah a couple months ago, when I got to this part, it just stuck, and I just loved it. So when I was given the opportunity to teach, this was it. This was like, I'm going to Isaiah 25. In the first verse, you notice it says, I will exalt you. I will praise your name. The two I wills in there. It's going to be our choice. We don't have to, but we need to make that choice. How many of you have a little bit of stubborn in you? I got a whole lot of stubborn, okay? We got to be stubborn. We have to make that choice. to praise him, to exalt him. Just as I tell my kids, pull up those pants all the way, even if they're stubborn pants. We're currently, the entire world, not just Modesto, not just the United States, the entire world is going through an unprecedented time. We keep hearing that over and over, but it's true. Nothing like this has happened. Can we praise him through it? Yes. Will we praise him? That's the choice we need to make. I've also noticed that a lot of my Christian friends are really going through tough times. The trials, it's just like the fire's been turned up, whether it's physically or emotionally, whatever, the trials have just been ramped up. In my own family, there's just so much going on. Will I exalt him? Will I praise him through that? Am I going to pull up those stubborn pants and do that? My choice. It also says in there, for you have done wonderful things. That word wonderful in Hebrew, if I say it right, is pele, P-A-L-A, hard A sound on both of them. And I am so not an English person. I'm a math person. Like, if I'm bored, I might even pull out an algebra book and just do it because I like it. Ask me to diagraph a sentence, I think I'd rather go to the dentist. And I'm not a fan of the dentist. So anyway, I will do my best on this. Wonderful, pele. Its meaning is to be wonderful, be marvelous, be amazing, to fulfill, to show a wonder, to cause, to astound, to show oneself marvelous. So once again, if we take that, just that one section in verse 1, for you have done wonderful things, you have done marvelous things, you have done amazing things, you have done things to fulfill, you have shown wonder, you have done things that cause to astound. You have done things that show oneself marvelous. Kind of just opens it up a little bit more. What if this year, especially since we're now getting toward the end of 2020, praise God, we remember all the wonderful things he's done for us? What if we choose to thank him first in all things? Especially those things he's already done, those things we can see coming up, that we can also see he's got his fingerprints all over it. How would that change your mindset? And how would it help you change the mindset of others if we were always choosing to thank him first? Something to think on. It won't happen by itself. It's something we have to practice. In verses 2 and 3, it says, for you have made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners, to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you. You have made a city a ruin. Do you trust him when all you see is destruction? Can you pull up those stubborn pants and exalt him and praise him through it? When things fall apart, do you trust him or do you blame him? Do you trust that he has your best interest at heart when all you see is destruction? Can you still exalt and praise him through these times? Still a choice. Can we do it? Do you have a book where you can write down those things? Remember in Old Testament times, they had stones of remembrance. They'd put them out somewhere, and every time they went by them, it would recall to them something that the Lord had done. Today, we've got journals, lots of journals. Do you have a journal of remembrance where you write down all the things the Lord has done? I highly recommend it, because when you see nothing but destruction, you can pick that up and start reading through it. And it will change your heart's attitude and help you to get to that place really quickly to exalt him and to praise him. Jeremiah 29:11, most of us know, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. Those are the thoughts we get to think on when we see destruction. Was there peace for the people he was writing to in the storm? Had they learned to remember his wondrous works through all things? Had they learned to trust his judgment and his discipline? None of us likes discipline. I just, I, I can't think of a time where it's like, oh, goody, I get a spanking. No, not likely. I remember even telling my mother one time, can you not love me so much? Because she always said, I'm doing this because I love you. I'd rather you not love me so much, Mom. Thank you. Was their focus on the destruction they saw or on the Lord? In our own lives, is our focus on the destruction we are seeing, or can we lift our gaze up and see the Lord? If you look at the back of a tapestry, and I know you guys have heard this illustration a lot before, but really think about it. How many of you have done any tapestries? Now, some of you have a little OCD thing. I certainly do not. I wouldn't be dressed like this if I did, probably. I don't know. Anyway, there's strings, all these colored strings just everywhere. And they make no sense. It is just a mess of strings being slung around and knots. That's the backside of a tapestry. I think sometimes when all we see is the destruction, what we're really seeing is the backside of the tapestry. From God's view, He is seeing a beautiful picture that He is creating. But all we are seeing is the destruction. And what we need to do is change. You know how many times we pray, Lord, may I have your eyes? That's what we need, His eyes, to see the tapestry from the other side when all we're seeing on our side is the destruction. We need that different angle. As a matter of fact, some tapestries, if a person didn't know what it was and they're just going through all this stuff and here's this thing and it's just got all these strings, they'd look at it and go, well, that's trash. And they never turned it over. Let us not, when we have the destruction, just go, well, that's it. I'm done with it. And throw it away when on the other side is just something beautiful. What plan of action can you put into place to help you praise Him through the tough times? Because if we don't have a plan of action, it's not going to happen. Like I mentioned, I was a coach for 15 years. In 15 years, I did not ever have a student wake up and go, I got this, I can land my quad. Really? Okay, when you wake up from that dream, we'll talk. Because I'll be scraping you off the ice, right? Never. They had to persevere, many falls, many bruises, so many. You don't just skate, you have to do off-ice stretching and dance, and then you have to take on-ice stuff that makes you sweat like it's crazy, and you're doing push-up and sit-ups and lunges and all this stuff on ice and off-ice. It's nonstop. It's one thing after other thing. You have to persevere through it to get to those goals. The same thing, if we have to have that plan in place so when things are difficult, we can praise Him through it. But we have to have that plan. We've got to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How can I praise you through the tough times? What is my plan of action? It'll be different for all of us. Some of us we'll just prefer to start it in one area than another, and you just have to ask the Lord, because like I say, some of you are English people, and so you might decide, you know, He might be showing you to start it in some other area than He would show me, math and music person. So ask Him. Verses 4-5 talks about He is our strength when we are poor or distressed, our refuge in our storms, our shade from the heat. I don't know about y'all, but the humidity, I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I love shade in the heat and some cold water. When I'm at rock bottom and I'm distressed, I need strength. I need His strength. When it's pouring outside, we want to be secure somewhere. He's all those things. He's our strength. He's our refuge, and He's our shade. That by itself is so much to praise Him and extol Him for. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. I had to think on that one for a while, and this is what came to mind. Remember when you were a kid, elementary school, and the little kids are taunting you, nee, 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 nee. It always came with some little tune, didn't it? The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. About time. That would be nice. How about when you can't sleep? It may not be a song anymore, but somebody might say something and it's spinning in your head. Don't count the sheep, count the blessings that the Lord has given to us. Or spend time in prayer, extolling the Lord. Because if those little voices are twirling in your head from the enemy, oh, he'll stop that, because the last thing he wants is you to be praying. What if somebody is just standing there and saying terrible things to you, to your face? Don't say anything until you've talked to the Lord. My personal thing that I do is I don't do any yelling. I don't yell at my husband, never have. I don't yell at my children, never have. They don't yell at me. When I counsel with people, some people are very vocal, whether on the phone or in person, and I always would like, and you know them ahead of time, and I would always tell them, no yelling. If yelling starts, the conversation is over, and I just pick up my toys and I go home. And it's been tested. I've had people that I've had to hang up on the phone because they were yelling and screaming at me. I'm like, I can't talk to you. This won't go anywhere. So ask the Lord, oh, Lord, you hear them. What do you want me to do? And he will give you everything you need. I remember one time I was teaching PE in the elementary schools. I was the only person out there, the only coach. I had three classes. They were all fifth graders. We had one gentleman that had obviously been held back because he was a fifth grader that was about this tall. And he wasn't just tall and skinny. He looked like he could play football and take out anybody he chose. And he didn't like what I asked him to do. So he literally got all up in my space, as we say, and started yelling at me. And I thought, they'll never find my pieces. I'm the only adult out here, and I've got 60 kids. And clearly, I had already been in this habit. Lord, what do I do? And he said, don't back up an inch. You stand your ground, you wait till he's done, and you point to the principal's office and tell him to get moving. I did that, and he turned on his heel and went, and I was like, thanks, God. He's always faithful. If someone is, now this is a word, I do a lot of reading. I may not like English to have to digraph sentences, but I love reading. If somebody's besmirching your reputation, how's that for an old word? Leave it in the Lord's hands. He does a far better job of taking care of it than we do. Verse 6 talks about, in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on lees, I don't know what a lee is, so sorry, of fat things full of marrow and of well-refined wines on the lees. Appropriate for Thanksgiving time, right? Feast, lots of feasts. As I was reading through the commentators, they were saying, in this time, in the ancient times, there were victory feasts. There's been a war, they had a feast. They celebrated. They would also, separately or part of the same feast, have what they called a words banquet. So if you did well in the war, you got rewarded. Little lights going on? I loved that part. Just to think about when we are done here on earth and we get to sit with him and feast. At the end of the tribulation, it talks about in Revelation 19:9, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb after that. That's that victory feast after it's all said and done. Now, I have to admit, being somebody who doesn't get gluten, doesn't get dairy, doesn't get eggs, and doesn't get peanuts, my first thing was food. I'm eating it all. I'm going to have the biggest piece of sourdough bread. Oh, heck, I'm going to eat the whole loaf, whatever. And then I thought, remember when you got married and you were hungry? And then you get off to your little location with your brand new husband and the food comes and you get all nervous and you can't eat. And I thought, oh Lord, that's going to happen, isn't it? All these foods I can eat. And the first thing I'm going to say is going, it's Jesus. I'm not hungry. It's Jesus. And I thought at first, well, that's good. That's very good. I'll eat later. Verse 7 and 8, I want to read you a section that I found in the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says it this way. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil which covers the face of all peoples, the veil enshrouding all the nations. Do we not see that? How many times we try to tell people about the Lord, and it's just like this veil is over them. And it used to be that seemed like the U.S. was a little bit less veiled. Not so much anymore. It's become fairly veiled as well. What we have to remember is that we can pray that that veil would be removed. Remember, God, when Jesus was on the cross, tore the veil, right, from the top bottom, so we had access to him. We just have to pray that they would, that the Lord would remove the veil from their eyes, the scales from their eyes, whatever it may be, so they can see him, so that we can introduce them to Jesus and help, and the way that comes about is that exalting. If we're always exalting the Lord and praising him, especially in these times right now, they're going to wonder why. Why are you okay with this? You're not worried. You're not fretting. You're just going on your merry way. Well, absolutely, because I know where my eternity is. Let's help get that veil pushed aside and show them Jesus. He will swallow up death forever. Once again, at this time in our world, so many people are more afraid of death. They really are right now. And if you're walking around totally at peace, Lord's got it. It's okay. He worked that into my life during 9/11 because I was there. And I just missed everything that happened. And as we were trying to drive home, the Lord told me so clearly, he goes, I know where you are. And I just had this peace. And my friends that I was with were freaking out and panicking. And I was just sitting back there. And they kept going, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. No, really, are you okay? I mean, you're like not talking. You're like, you're pretending like you're all peaceful. No, I am peaceful. It's okay. God knows where we are at. But they don't know how to handle that. What a great way to just be able to use that to lead people to Jesus, to extol him, to exalt him, to praise him. The Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. Can you see the Lord? To see him, his hands are like this, and there's a face, and those tears are running down that face, and he's just taking his thumbs. And he's wiping those tears away. Now, if you're like me, it's easy for me to see all of your faces in his hands. It's a lot harder for me to see my face in his hands. But he says, the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He has been doing that and will continue to do that for us. What a mighty God we serve. And we should be praising him for these things. It doesn't say he takes the hard things away. Not at all. And we all know that. But he's there with us, literally holding us and wiping those tears. Some of us have been through some horrific times in our lives. But he never left you. He was always there with you. He could continue to do that. People make choices that hurt us. We make choices that hurt people. He never leaves us. He's with us through all of that. Talks about the rebuke of his people will be taken away from the earth. It seems like, once again in the U.S., Christians really haven't been rebuked very much, but have you noticed a bit of a change? Things might be different now, but how awesome, it's going to be gone. We can have that peace just going, yeah, okay, flames are turned up, Christians might have to suffer a little bit. But we have a God that we get to praise through it all. It might be tough here, but we get heaven, right? Lord, come quickly. Verse 9, behold, this is our God. All these things it's talked about and so much more. This is our God. Would you be able to tell others about your Lord and what he's done in such a way that when you're done telling about all these things he's done for you, you can go, this is my God. In a way that they go, well, I'm on in. I want that. Now, I don't mean that we should be doing this in that weird, crazy way. I think we've all seen the people in the supermarkets that might be short a French fry, and they're drawing the wrong kind of attention, and they're trying to do it for Jesus, but it's just awkward. No, I'm talking about the one where it is just flowing from us. It's natural, because we've made it a habit to always exalt and praise the Lord. It's as easy as breathing for us. How do we get to that place where it's not awkward, where it flows? Practicing. That's what we have to do. We have to practice it. You all have heard of muscle memory. It's the same thing. I did that before I had hip surgery. It was a thing God showed me. He said, you're a coach. You remember muscle memory? Yes, sir, God, sir. And he had me go through and do all the exercises I was supposed to do after my hip replacement. I was like, okay. Well, they do so much work, and everything is cut, and you can't actually even feel anything for days. When I had to do those exercises, the muscles knew what to do, even though I couldn't feel it. How much more can we get in that place where it's muscle memory? We just do it. We exalt him and we praise him. The next part of the verse says, we have waited for him and he will save us. Some of us have been Christians a long time. I had to deal with God, I have to say. So I got saved probably around 6 or 7, and I've truly, honestly tried to walk with him my entire life. And, you know, at first it was like, okay, I got to be a teenager, and I was like, okay, Lord, can I get married? Can you put off coming back till I get married? Then I'm married. Can you put off coming back till I can have a baby? I really like to do that. But you can come before they get in high school. That would be fabulous. They're in their 30s. We are so in overtime. I have this conversation with the Lord all the time. What happened? And then I wasn't. No. That high school thing, that was no fun. And I think we all know of those people that we have served alongside, and then something came up, and they were not in the habit of praising God through the trial. And they kind of took a step back from God. And then something else came up, and they kind of took another step back from God. And now they're not really serving, maybe not even in church. They're not waiting for his return. Let us be the ones that are always waiting. Let us be ones that are encouraging each other in our waiting, praying for one another, coming along. When our friends are having a hard time, come alongside them. Don't make it forceful and awkward, but come alongside them. We need to be there for them. And then when God opens those doors, helping them learn how to praise God through those tough times so that they stay in that place of waiting for the Lord. Rejoice in his salvation. It's not our salvation. It's his. It's a gift that he gives us. We are just glad recipients. I found this quote from Spurgeon. I hope I can get through this right because it's old English kind of ish, a little awkward, but I love this. He says, to be wrapped in praise to God is the highest state of the soul. To receive the mercy for which we praise God for is something. But to be wholly clothed with praise to God from the mercy received is far more. Why, praise is heaven, and heaven is praise. To pray is heaven below, but praise is the essence of heaven above. When you bow in adoration, you are at the very highest. I just love that. Do you still rejoice in your salvation? And I had to be honest, when I was going through the study, I was like, I've been saved for a long time, and I can honestly tell you, I don't every day going, wow, God, thank you for saving me. You don't take it for granted, but you don't necessarily think about it. So I encourage you guys to remember that and to rejoice in the salvation he has blessed us with and given us freely. Think about what he saved you from. Some of us have friends that didn't get saved when we got saved. They may not be doing so well, so we can easily go, thank you, Jesus. And it's not just things on earth, but eternity. We get to spend eternity in heaven with him, not in the most toasty roasty. So how can we get in the habit of praising him at all times? Schedule it. Ask him how to go about it. For me, it's praise music. If I'm getting in a funk, if I'm really going through trials, the first thing I'm going to try to remember to do is to turn on my praise music. I've been involved in music as long as I can remember. And so for me, that's just the one thing he uses. It's a good thing there's no cameras in the house. I'm vacuuming. It's just who I am. I love to praise the Lord. But I don't necessarily, when I'm talking with people, remember to exalt him and praise him. That's what I have to work on. Do you thank him every day for the blessings he's giving you? Do you start your prayer time with being thankful? It really changes how we pray the rest of the prayers where we're interceding when we are remembering all the mighty things he's already done. But you see what I'm getting at. Let's become people known for being more thankful to the Lord and being more known for those words of exalting the Lord, just pouring out. Like, it's just so, it would come so natural. Practice with each other. It might sound awkward, but it won't be. It would be uplifting. Lucy's going to come back up in a moment, but first we're going to get a chance to practice tonight. I'd like us all to sit for 5 minutes, and I know that sounds like eternity. It doesn't sound like it, but in 2 minutes you all will be twitching. I know that. And I want you to write down, Lord, I'm really thankful for, and just start writing those things down. And then when Lucy comes up, we're going to have some more time of praise, because I really think by doing that, by coming and just spending that time writing those things we're thankful for down, we're going to have that heart prepared for that time of worship where we can just wholly just give it up to him. Let's pray real quick. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to boldly come into your presence. And we get to thank you and we get to praise you. Father, tonight for each person here, I ask and pray that you would bless them. Just show them those things that you've done in their lives where they can just do nothing but thank you and praise you and tell others about the marvelous works you've done in their lives. Father, go before us. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.